This is Fix It. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Nishant. Today, we have a delicious episode. We're joined by Christy Goldsby, the founder of Honey Mama's Chocolate.
Delicious indeed. Christy is fixing how we mass produce really, really, really good food. We'll be talking about how Christy has been able to scale up without sacrificing her business's sustainable approach. But before we get going, Nishant, can you tell me a little bit more about Christy?
Well, Christy grew up in Portland, Oregon, among a family of cooks and farmers, bakers and gardeners. So she has a lot of experience making delicious, fresh food. Thankfully for the rest of us, she started a company, Honey Mama's, to share that food. In particular, Honey Mama's chocolate bars use only the highest quality, nutrient-rich ingredients. These bars are so good both for you and the planet that even its packaging is sustainable. Welcome to the show, Christy.
So nice to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Christy, even at a time like this, we're recording during the COVID pandemic. When you go to the grocery store now, there's food across every aisle. There's tons of options. But when we think about mass producing something as good for you and as good for the planet as Honey Mama's chocolate, how do you go about that really difficult process of getting such delicious small bars out to a wide, nationwide, perhaps even international audience?
Yeah. So, you know, when I started the company, my previous experiences, I had had a bakery and coffee roasting company here in Portland. We had a brick and mortar space. And I was very familiar with that model and, you know, kind of serving the community in that way. And I loved it. But when we did a line of cinnamon rolls and pecan rolls that we sold to the regional chain grocery stores in the area. And that at that point, when I dipped my toes kind of into the CPG world, I recognized the power and for me, it just felt really interesting to be part of a bigger food conversation. And I recognized that that could happen in the grocery store. So fast forward a few years, and when I launched Honey Mama's, that was kind of my interest was I wanted to put something in the, not just into our mouths, but into the kind of the ecosystem. And that was healthy from top to bottom, bottom to top. And that includes, of course, manufacturing and sustainable business practices and packaging and everything else. And so, you know, the platform, I wanted it to be simple and I wanted it to go far and wide. So I, you know, recognized what that would take. And it's just, you know, a lot of that is through distribution channels and looking at kind of getting a good distribution network. I started regionally and then we've organically grown into a more national company is kind of where we're at right now. So that is kind of the way that I looked at the conversation, I guess, as you could say. And that was almost 8 years ago today. So we're in all 50 states now, and we have done that really through primarily through really good distribution, just distributor relationships and buyer relationships with the natural grocery channel primarily. We haven't really dipped into conventional quite yet.
So it sounds like getting these distribution channels up and running is not trivial, and it took you some time to do it, but now you've got a machine that's rolling. Can you talk about other barriers that may exist to making sure that you're sourcing the highest quality ingredients and selling through channels that are kind of sustainable and planet positive?
Absolutely. You know, so one of the things early on for me, at least, was deciding to run a business that I was going to start and kind of grow in an organic way. And that decision for me was around not trying to raise a ton of money right out of the gate. I wanted to kind of self-fund so that I felt very in control of the process. And I hadn't done the process before. I hadn't gone through it before. So I was really learning as I went. But really how that looked to me was I knew that I wanted to control the quality of the product and that sustainability factor. And I knew that that would really be in core to the manufacturing. So we started as manufacturers, we're still manufacturers. I started in my home kitchen, built out about a 1200 square foot space, you know, about a year later, once I realized that the business would do well. And then now we're in a 12,000 square foot manufacturing space with offices that are across the street. So the other piece to that as well was finding local suppliers, regional suppliers at least, that I could work with along the way that were also dedicated to this high integrity, sustainable practices. So, you know, growers and beekeepers and all of the key ingredients that we use, that I took a lot of time in the very early days of the company to find suppliers that kind of met my standards of what ultimately that was about. Now, most of the ingredients that we use are organic. And, you know, it honestly wasn't to me so much about having like an organic certification as it was about those were simply the suppliers that I found that happened to have the same kind of mindset that I felt connected to, not pulling from monocrops and, you know, having a sustainable growth method and employing people at reasonable, you know, kind of paying people fairly and all of that. So I think that between that, you know, and translating that also into, I self-distributed as long as I could, so I worked directly with buyers. And then once I started working with distribution, I started that small as well. So I started with local distributors who we still work with. And then once it became very clear that it was important to work with these more national distributing companies, that I just kind of brought that same mindset to those relationships. And it all comes down to that. It all comes down to relationships and who you're talking to and then making those choices from there.
But so going off of that theme of just how important relationships are, something that strikes me about your model is it's a broader conception of organic. And in fact, I think perhaps another way to describe it would be you're looking for a community and building out a whole community of suppliers, distributors. And I wonder how you've approached that community in terms of building out your employees. How do you sort for folks who you think are good for the Honey Mamas community that fit in with that mentality? I mean, I like to think that sustainability-minded people grow on Oregon's trees, but obviously it's probably harder than I'd like to envision.
Yeah, I think employees, that's been such an interesting part of the process, obviously, too. And, you know, when you're growing rapidly, as we have, that person that you're talking about changes quite a bit. So when we first started, you know, honestly, it was friends of friends in the kitchen. And then as we continue to grow, being able to find people who didn't actually view growth as a negative was huge. You know, that's been a pretty interesting part of the process, actually, is because I've always had an interest in creating a company that actually interacts in our local, regional, and really global ecosystem and economy in that promotes healthy relationships and, you know, kind of healthy growth. And it was funny, it always struck me as when we kind of went from just like us, the really small mom and pop grocery stores locally to, oh gosh, just getting into more regional chains. And some of the employees at that point would feel like, wow, we're just, you know, we're changing too quickly, or, you know, kind of they love the company, but there's that sense. And so, you know, I think that so much of that comes down to, you know, very much like constant communication that's very transparent with those people. And then as we've continued to grow, obviously we have, I was able to hire like an operations kind of manager, you know, kind of early on, who was able to know how to hire for people that were the right fit for the company at the right time. And so we've kind of continued to do that. That's not been an easy feat. It's kind of a constant and ongoing. Cultural fit is one thing. And I think the other piece is also just, you know, having people that are interested in wrapping and making chocolate bars all day long is it's a whole nother thing. And we have an amazing team of about 25 people that work in the manufacturing side.
Yeah. And I think before I kick it over to Nishant for a quick follow-up question, I am just struck by how important social networks are to the development of any entrepreneurial activity. I mean, you're talking about friends of friends who become employees. You're talking about these long relationships you've built with distributors and suppliers. And I think it just speaks to all of the work that's being done to bring more people together in more places at more times so that everyone has that kind of access to a social network.
Yeah. Social networks are key. I mean, they're actually, social networks are kind of the core to our entire existence, I think. You know, it's people falling in love with the product and telling friends of friends. It's a very shareable product itself. And I think that it has that kind of like surprise element and celebration element that naturally makes people feel like they've discovered something like that's very unique and different. And they have a tendency to be really excited to share it with another person. And that is the core, a huge core of how we've been able to kind of have, I think, kind of a cult following across the United States. And it's just been kind of an amazing, huge, I think, attribute and key to our ability to kind of grow as organically as we have. We just, you know, almost 8 years in have hired a PR company as we move into this next phase.
So Christy, for folks that are looking to maybe follow in your footsteps, or mm-hmm. for just the everyday citizen that's looking to incorporate better foods into their diet, can you provide some guidance on how our Fixer community can get involved? Maybe to start, if you're a consumer and you're looking to add better foods into your diet as opposed to highly processed ones or ones that are less sustainably produced, what are the decisions that you can make in the grocery aisle? What should you be looking for to make sure that you're buying the way your moral compass would want you to?
Yeah, I think that part of it is just looking for a clean ingredient deck. You know, we were talking about the difference between eating, you know, chocolate that has like a lot of ingredients and a lot of them you can't really pronounce or understand what they are. And I think that just choosing, my philosophy is choosing foods with as few ingredients as possible that are all real food ingredients. That is just kind of number one. And, you know, shopping on the perimeter of the store. So, you know, fresh is always best. I think is choosing the least amount of processed foods that you possibly can is also makes your body and the planet happier. And kind of just keeping it as simple as possible, honestly, that to me, that translates across the board. You know, it's like a domino effect.
And what would you suggest for the potential business owners or folks who are doing things similar to you in the production of new and sustainable foods? What can they be doing to make sure that they're building their businesses as well as possible?
Just having a really clear understanding as to who they're doing business with and taking the time and using the resources to investigate that early on, because that at every stage is where you really just, you know, if you can just attend to that, it doesn't honestly take a whole lot, but it does take mindfulness and just paying attention to those details from the start and just along the way. And if you don't have time to do that, or as you continue to grow, it's about hiring those people around you that actually, you know, have that same kind of value system. And that is kind of core to creating your company culture. And I can't say it enough times. Like, I just feel like this sense of there's just a connectedness here that really, really matters, and recognizing like how much we each impact each other. And it just really starts from the simplest kind of perspective. And that's kind of the key. Once you have that, then you're able to kind of have your pillar of your, you know, your values. And then that just will continue as you grow.
You can take it from me, Fixer community. You can taste the freshness and the commitment to quality in Honey Mama's chocolate. Christy, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. What a fun experience to talk to you two. Loved it.
Again, thank you to Christy for joining us on the show. Please use hashtag Fixer to tell us about problems you're solving in your neck of the woods. And tweet us at @fix_cast. And if you're feeling generous, Nishant loves 5-star reviews. So please send one to him and make his day. See you next time, Fixers.